Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today. And today is a great study ahead of us because we will be talking about Paul and his trade and how he spent this year, almost 3 years in Corinth.
Unique insight into his life.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different page, in his life. So he's in Corinth, the city of Corinth. And it's a very interesting city. So we are in Acts chapter 18. So I would like to encourage you to pick up your Bible, Acts chapter 18, and make sure to read the entire chapter. So Acts chapter 18. This is where we're at. Okay. So before we begin the study, Imani, could you lead us in prayer?
Of course. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And please send your Holy Spirit to us as we read and decipher your word. Help us to envision this for our own lives and take something away from this so that we can move forward and walk with you in close communion. Be with all of our viewers out there. Help them to also get a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, so let's read the first three verses. Three verses of this interesting story. So it's 18 verses 1 through 3. And Juliana, could you read these verses?
Sure. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was.
Okay. Mm. And I'm sorry, but we need to read verse 4 and 5.
So Each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews and Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that we learn about Paul here.
Yeah,
so what is his trade? What does he do?
He's a tent maker.
Yeah.
And he actually does it with two people that are highlighted here that we have a character profile for, because these are new characters being introduced on the scene here in the book of Acts. They're called Aquila and Priscilla. And so we'll just take a quick look at them right now. As you mentioned, they're tent makers that are living in Corinth, this new city that Paul is going to from Athens. And they had been forced to leave Rome very recently because of Claudius's order, getting rid of all Jewish people from Rome. And Paul, also a tent maker, stays and works with them in Corinth, develops a close relationship with them, and he stays there for 1.5 years.
So when we talk about tent makers, what do we usually envision? Like
camping.
REI tents?
Yeah, REI camping.
Okay, they were making camping tents.
Yeah.
They were probably dealing with leather and the wood. I mean, the tents that they lived in were not the tents we see at REI. It's very different materials. So
it was a
hard job, and also took a lot of time to be able to cure the leather and then stretch it out and put it on.
It's work with the leather. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, because all church fathers later on, they will talk about Paul as the leather maker, the one who worked with leather.
Yeah.
So this is number one. And number two is tents, which means basically anything that creates shade.
Mm. Yeah.
So sometimes tents would be installed on the marketplace. Marketplace, which is basically that roof, just like
More like
rafters.
A canopy.
Canopies, exactly. Canopies.
And,
or sometimes it could be in the amphitheater. Sometimes you would just raise that canopy above the spectators, spectators, because they wanted to have some shade. Mm-hmm. So this is what it's all involved. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's interesting. It's a very kind of just honest blue-collar job that Paul had that he wasn't shy about doing, and he was actually proud of. We see him mentioned elsewhere in the book of Acts that he was proud to be able to work hard to earn an honest living so that he could provide for those who could not provide for himself. And so Paul's very proud of this.
Yeah.
And this actually gives us an insight about rabbis or teachers.
Mm.
Teachers are the ones who worked regular jobs during the day and then they taught on Saturdays or in the evenings.
Right.
And why is it so important? Because when we talk about, when we even listen, Jesus' ministry as well, he was the one who worked also with wood and stone and so forth as tecton, which is basically a carpenter and construction worker. So the same is here.
Yeah.
Why is it
so
important for a teacher to have it also?
I think it's interesting. We see in what happens, we see why it's important. You know, now the title of a religious leader, or a preacher, or whatever the case may be, it's a full-time job. That is your job. You do that and nothing else. But Paul, because he did, he preached in the synagogue, but also worked a regular job. It allowed him in this new city that he's just coming to, where he doesn't know anyone. He's able to get an inn and meet some people. And actually, we see a community develop here through his encounter with Aquila and Priscilla, and later their encounter Apollos and other people. And through this honest, hard work that he does, he's able to meet people and actually form a community of believers here in Corinth through that. Not in spite of that. Like, I got to do this just to make money. But it's actually what allows him to build a church.
He builds a rapport with the community. And it allows him then, I think, to be heard more because, he's an honest worker. He's someone who's worked alongside us. Now he has something to say. I'm more willing to listen to what he has to say.
And I think it's a great message for everybody who proclaims the message of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's just, we need to be connected to the community that we are in.
And
that connection doesn't happen by accident. And not just come, it doesn't happen from the pulpit. It comes from a regular encounters, everyday encounters with the community that we are in.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, in your own job and stuff like that, you know, you're called to be proclaimers of Christ, but you don't have to be weird about it. You know what I mean? You can you know, like, hey, you know, how's your day going? You know, how was your weekend? You know, stuff like that. Just be like a part of your job. You know what I mean? Show that you're a human being too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then, but I am a follower of Christ. You know, you want to hear about it because you have a relationship and it's about relationships.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. And I think it goes to anyone, even for those of you watching at home where you don't have a job of getting up and getting around a table and talking about Jesus. That's not only is that okay, that's great. That's how Paul shared with people, you know. Be an example at work. Don't just view work as this thing I've got to do or this thing that's such a drain on me and my life. It's an opportunity to share what you have with other people.
Or for it to be something that is taking away from ministry because sometimes it's like, I want to be doing ministry. I wish I was only doing ministry.
And
my work is taking me away from that. But it's an opportunity.
Minister where you're at.
This is just a recent thing that is happening. Actually, in the only 20th century, because even if you read about preachers of the 18th century, 19th century, we see them working regular jobs. They had their farms. They had their whatever that may be. They worked in the city, in the plant or factory. And then they continued to preach, proclaiming the message. This is what everybody would do. It's just recently we see pastors are getting
just
their salaries
pastors.
And just pastors. So it's a luxury.
Right.
It's a luxury. Yeah.
But when you think about it, the work environment is such a powerful way to display your faith in that it's a situation that involves stress. It's situations that involves working closely with other people. Mm-hmm. It's a situation where sometimes things can go wrong. And what if, you know, as you mentioned, Imani, what if, you know, you're at work and someone knows that you're Christian or you're a follower of Jesus and they see someone yell at you and they see someone try and degrade you. And you respond with kindness and with a kind and loving attitude. They go, man, I think Imani has something. Yeah. I'm going to talk to her about it next time we're in the, you know.
It's the ultimate test of your character.
Yes.
The ultimate test. Because you're in the different personalities, doing projects for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And like you said, responding with kindness, simple little acts like that. Bringing cookies for the office. You know what I mean? I mean,
that would convert
bring
me
cookies
if you did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd convert me if you did that. Yeah.
So next time you're expecting some cookies.
Right. And look, you're contributing to your society.
Yeah.
You're a productive member of your society. That's something, just because we're not of the world, contribute to your society.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, provide a meaningful service to your community.
Yeah.
Paul did with giving people shade.
Paul did, And that's what we will see next will be actually also amazing. When we see that Paul proclaimed this message in the synagogue and then he says, you know what? We need to part now.
All right.
And let's see what happens next.
We got to take a short break, but you heard him. Oleg promised something amazing, so we're going to have that right after the break. We'll see you soon. All right, we are back here in Cross Connection Acts. We're so glad that you're still with us. And now we're seeing, we looked at Paul embedding himself in his community as a productive member of his community. And now we're going to see somewhat of a shift in the nature of his ministry.
So let's read verses 5 and 6 again. So Imani, could you read verses 5 and 6? We are in Acts chapter 18, verses 5 and 6.
When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles."
Okay, so and then he basically departs from them and then
leaves.
So why this shift? Why is it so important? So because he sees this community that rejects Jesus as the Messiah.
Yeah.
And this is, again, Jesus is the Christ. So the meaning of the word Christ means Messiah, which is basically the one who is anointed by God, who is appointed by God to set the people free. So they reject him, and then he goes to the Gentiles. Why is it so significant, and why is it for us even?
Well, I mean, Paul, we're seeing this theme develop. Paul goes where people are going to hear the message, you know, and even we'll encounter instances in which the Spirit will try and guide Paul to go, don't go there because they're not going to hear the message, you know. And so this message is for people who are open to it, whoever that may be. And Paul's saying, okay, well, it says they were even abusive to Paul. So he says, okay, well, see if these guys want to hear it.
I think Paul recognized that nothing that he said or did would change their minds.
Right.
Because it's a change that has to come from the inside. It has to come from the Holy Spirit to open their hearts and minds to be willing to hear what is being said. Yeah. And they weren't ready. They weren't willing. So Paul was like, okay, if you're not going to take this, I'm going to take it to those who will.
Right. Right. Which is not, I find it interesting too, it's not like Paul is abandoning his people, not at all, because we see the very next verses, Crispus the synagogue leader and his entire household believe they meet Paul, so it's not an abandonment of his people in any way, or a condemnation categorically of all, but just there's a contingent of people that just don't want to hear the message, so he goes to people that do want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. And what we see throughout the book of Acts is just the reminder of repentant heart.
Yes. Yeah.
Repentant soul, repentant mind. So metanoia, when you're willing to change your mind, to change the old way of thinking, then the Holy Spirit can work on you.
Right.
But if you're set in your old beliefs, if you're set in your old traditions, whatever that may be, then Holy Spirit will not be able to work on you.
And sometimes I think this is important that he gave them time to receive it because... Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes your ministry can be too aggressive. It might be too aggressive. You know, you might be just going after them and beating a dead horse. And you're like, you know what? Maybe they just need to take a minute to process all of this and let the Holy Spirit work on their hearts. Because like you were saying, sometimes they need to have the time to receive the Holy Spirit and be transformed.
One of the things that I see here and that I also remember from other things that I've done and learned is that... you know, sometimes as ministers, we try so hard to do the job. But what we need to remember is that the Holy Spirit has to go before. Mm-hmm. And when the Holy Spirit goes before and then leads us to the people that are ready to hear, then that's when the reaping will truly be powerful and amazing. And
so
I see that here because he's saying he recognized that the Holy Spirit had tried to work on these people, but they weren't ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now he's moving on to someone else, to another group. Right.
And let's see what actually happens next because it's surprising. Verse 8 through 11. So Sergio, could you read these verses, 8 through 11?
Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God.
So look what God says. It's interesting that the Lord, mm-hmm. so Jesus, once again, Jesus spoke to Paul in the night and in the vision, and then he said, "Do not be afraid," number one. And then he said, "I have what?
Many people.
Yeah. You don't know those people, but I have them.
And I know them.
I know them.
It reminds me of Elijah, when Elijah's saying, "I'm the only one left, Lord."
Yeah.
And God was like, "I got a lot of people you don't know about.
Don't worry about me.
Don't worry." Yeah. And I think it's cool here. Once again, it's the Spirit having gone before.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
already cultivated a whole lot of people in this city that will now be able to support and protect Paul and his ministry.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is such a good reminder to us because sometimes we feel like, oh, well, I'm the only one who does it and I'm the only one who has it.
Yeah.
And then, wait a second. You're not the only one who does who does it, and you're not the only one who has it.
Yeah.
Because there's many others.
It's a humbling moment.
It's very important not to be looking on ourselves as if we're the only ones that can accomplish this job.
Right.
God can do it through whoever,
right?
But he chooses to use us, and then we need to remember to stay humble and allow him to truly work through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Right, because really what it comes down to is we see Paul here, there's Jewish people, there's Gentiles, there's men, there's women, there's working class, there's religious leaders, all sorts of people are responding. That really all it comes down to is people that accept the gospel and accept the Holy Spirit are people that are willing to have their minds changed, metanoia.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are simply refuse to have their minds changed, and what are you going to do about that? That's not your responsibility. Just keep on speaking, like Jesus tells Paul. It's not our job to do that work.
Exactly. And what is also, what we see next will be also even more surprising to us, I think. Because what happens is the following is, Paul, despite the fact that Jesus just promised him that everything will be fine, he's still he still tried.
Yeah.
Isn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, is this what we see? So verses 14 through 17. So, Imani, could you read verses 14 through 17?
Sure. And when Paul was about to open his mouth...
Okay, let's, I'm sorry. Let's read from 12.
12, okay. 12. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names in your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sothenius, the rulers of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things.
Mm. Okay, so look what happened. So Paul was he just said, "I'm going to go to the Gentiles instead of the Jews," because the Jews reject the message. In this case, the Jewish community, the religious leaders, they reject the message. Mm-hmm. Is this what we see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the next story that we read about is actually that this community, they bring Paul to this governor. And then look what happens. So do you see this Sosthenes?
Yeah.
This leader of the synagogue, another leader, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. Another one, because apparently Crispus stopped being Crispus. A synagogue leader because he was converted.
So yeah. He was converted. Here's another one. Yeah. Is Sosthenes, is he with Paul, or is he with, who is he with?
I don't know.
I mean, he's the one there trying Paul, presumably, right?
Yeah. He's Paul, right? The one who came to accuse Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look what happens next.
Yeah.
Look what happens.
Yeah.
He's beaten by whom? By the Corinthians, by other groups. So by the Gentiles. So there was anti-Semitic movement, and we need to admit it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was anti-Semitism, not just in the 20th century, but throughout.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I know you've been to Corinth, Oleg. I remember when I went to Corinth.
I'll show you the proof.
Oh, show me the proof. Let's see it.
Look at this.
Proof.
This is Bema, which is the Corinth.
And so that's the proconsul seat, right?
This is the proconsul seat.
Right. Exactly. And it's right. If you were to be like behind the camera, is a temple. Right? Is it to Apollo? I think it's temple to Apollo.
Yes.
Yeah. The temple to Apollo is behind this. So they're in this like Greek holy site. And so, you could imagine a Jewish leader who, if they don't side with him, what could happen?
Yeah. So that's why. And now Paul says, "Of course, you reject me, but despite of that, I will continue bringing the message to the Gentiles, even though I will be rejected also."
Yeah.
Wow.
And we will continue this conversation after the break. So what we see in this presentation, we see how Paul, he was delivering the message in Corinth. So he was working as a tradesman, which is a tradesman, which is tent maker.
Tent maker. Yeah.
Tent maker. He was creating those shades for people to comfort them as well. So it's just, he's comforting
always covering people from the troubles of the world.
Yeah. And then he was also preaching in the synagogues, but then he realizes that the message is not received. Mm-hmm. So then he decides to go to the Gentiles. But to go to the Gentiles is not an easier task.
Yeah.
In fact, it's even more difficult. First, because we see this, there's anti-Semitism everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Paul was a Jew, and he proclaimed another God.
Yeah.
Who said Jesus Christ better than Caesar.
Wow.
He's the true king. Mm-hmm. So then it's the message is double difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul is called to do. Now, what we also see next is actually, we come back to Aquila and Priscilla, and we see Apollos, another character that comes to the, to the surface.
Yeah, and we want to focus on Apollos right now. We have a character profile for him, so we want to take a look. Apollos is a Jewish man who comes to Ephesus from Alexandria, travels all that way, Alexandria in Egypt. He's extremely well-read with a deep knowledge of the scriptures. After meeting with Aquila and Priscilla, he then learns about God more thoroughly, who maybe they learned about God more thoroughly from Paul, working tent making with him. And using scripture, he begins to passionately tell the world about Jesus. So he's a very knowledgeable man, knows the scriptures very well.
So now we are acquainted with Apollos, and let's see what is actually happening in this story. So Jelena, could you read this for us? It's verses 24 through 28, chapter 18, verses 24 through 28.
Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. going to...
Yeah, 28.
Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. When he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments in public debate. Using the scriptures, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So why what is happening here? Just because we see that Apollos knows the scripture really well. Mm. So yeah. he was from Alexandria.
Right.
In Alexandria, there was a huge Jewish community, one of the largest communities in Alexandria, in Egypt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Egypt. So then he goes to Ephesus, and he
also had the largest library in the world,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So he's very well read. So interesting that he's so well read because he comes from Alexandria.
And addition to that, so the Old Testament, or the Torah, Nevi'im and Ketuvim, was translated into Greek in Alexandria as well, two and a half centuries before. So what we see is just Apollos, he's a well knowledgeable from the hub of knowledge. He comes from the hub of knowledge. And then he travels to Ephesus, and then he preaches also enthusiastically and well. He knows the scripture.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was he lacking?
The baptism of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Even though he did have the baptism of John already.
Yeah.
So, right.
So what is that baptism of, and why is it so important? Why the knowledge of scripture is not enough?
I think that's the word. It's knowledge. He's a super smart dude. Yeah. You know, he knows everything. We saw in our character profile, he has all these scrolls behind him. Very well read, very intelligent.
Because the picture was taken in the first century.
Yeah, exactly.
The Library of Alexandria.
And so he has this knowledge. He has this head knowledge about Jesus, but his heart maybe has not been transformed. He hasn't been baptized by fire, you know, which is what John said would come next. He hasn't experienced that Holy Spirit yet. Yeah. And when he has that, man, the dude is on fire. He wants to go everywhere, you know, and start proclaiming everywhere.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, so then what happens is just the realization of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah comes.
And is a real and abiding presence in your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It changes.
So
you.
Now the question is, how can it happen in us? How can what does it take?
I mean,
what does it take?
A lot of study. I mean, he studied, you know what I mean? And that foundation that he set for himself opened the door for him to receive this new knowledge, because you know what I mean? We need to study our word and know what we're talking about, you know, when we're proclaiming, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah, you know?
Right. The study, absolutely, the study of the word. And what we see is just the study of the word without Jesus as the main standard for understanding the scripture. Then we can be a little lost.
Yeah.
Because then we can reemphasize one portion of the scripture and make it our doctrine.
Yes.
Without the character of Jesus, without the presence of Jesus in that doctrine at all.
Yeah.
And then it can be destructive.
Right. But I think Apollos is such an awesome example to us. I think even coming from the angle of cross connection, where we're all about studying scripture for the purpose of learning about Jesus, Apollos is one of our guys. You know, like this is he's a like-minded person who loves scripture, who reads it deeply, thoroughly, and then, like all of us have, he had that moment where then he went to the next level and actually was able to kind of not just have this head knowledge, but heart knowledge, and experience this baptism that Jesus has to offer.
Yeah.
So in the book of Acts, is Apollos a negative or a positive character?
I think he's positive. Yeah,
positive. Very positive, yes.
Yeah.
Very positive. Look what he ends up doing.
What makes this character positive? Because there could be a different outcome. He could have listened to Aquila and Priscilla, and then he left and continued preaching whatever they were. So,
but look how open to knowledge this guy is. Because he is from this ultra-sophisticated city.
Yeah.
He's super smart. His city has the largest library in the world. He comes to this place, Corinth, and he's open to... So he comes to Ephesus and he's open to Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers.
Yes.
Opening his mind up.
Yes.
He could have easily been snotty and been like, what are you? You're going to tell. You're tent makers.
You see, this is crucial. Yeah. Once again, the repentant heart in the book of Acts throughout.
Yeah.
This idea of repentance is just permeates the book of Acts.
And again, what we talked about, being open to having your mind changed or not. And Apollos was. He was open to having his mind changed.
Yeah. You can't be arrogant in your knowledge. You know what I mean? Some people acquire so much knowledge and they're like, I know everything. Mm-hmm. Do not talk to me unless you're my peer. And even if you're my peer, I still know better than you. You know,
exactly.
I think the most important thing is, like, when we learn when we have a lot of knowledge, we learn that there's still so much left to learn. And that humility to allow anyone to teach us, I think, is a really good aspect to have. Yeah. We can always learn from other people.
Yeah.
And no wonder why in Galatians, Paul later on will write, because there's when you encounter Jesus, there is no more Jew nor Gentile. No more slave or free. Yeah. There is no more extremely knowledgeable or not knowledgeable, because it all doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now we all are united, and I can learn from you. You can learn from me. Yeah. We can learn together.
And it's important to know there's no class system here that he cared about. He didn't care about the classification of Priscilla. You know what I mean? He didn't care about it. He said, "I am about this knowledge, and if you have something new to bring to the table and you can transform my mind, I'm open to hear that."
Right. And then what happens to this studious scholar once he receives the baptism of Jesus in verse 26? Just like we see with Paul and everyone else, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And that's what happens. There's a quality that happens when that Spirit shows up. This is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, really, this book. And when that Holy Spirit shows up, now he's bold and proclaiming to everybody.
Of course.
Well, we're out of time. The shot clock's up. We got to finish the show, but thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us at home. And we just want to encourage you as you go throughout the rest of your week, be more like Paul. Get embedded, involved in your community. Use work as an opportunity to tell people to display what the kingdom is all about. Also, be like Apollos. Thanks for digging into the Word with us today, and have that open mind to having your mind and your heart changed. Until next time, we will look forward to seeing you right here on Cross Connection Acts. Peace.